from the campus of New Hope Christian College. Welcome to Words of New Hope.
Well, I tell you, that's true, because on the freeway and stuff, you got to practice, because someone cuts you off, you want to run them down. Just practice staying away. I like, get them, but no, practice, okay. And, you know, and it sounds funny, but it's true. The more you do that, you train your senses. And then when it's done, you realize, oh, that was the right thing to do. That was the best thing to do. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to practice, because practice helps you to get beyond good intentions.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
In 1 John, it says that if we want to abide in Christ, we need to walk in the same manner as He walked. Well, sounds a little easier said than done, doesn't it? How do you walk as Jesus walked? Well, funny you should ask. Pastor Wayne is coming along in just a moment to teach us how. But right now, we're going to take you into Farrington High School Auditorium for a few minutes of worship with New Hope.
Oh, Lord, we love You. In this morning of joy, we may also experience sorrows, but we will worship You. In times of helplessness, Lord, we will still worship You. Let's sing to our Lord.
I know that You are strong. I know You're more than able to save me from whatever ever comes my way. I know You are a healer. I know You can deliver. I know that You can rescue me. Oh, but even when I cannot see Your hand, when You move it away, still I will worship You, I will worship You. In the midnight hour, I will worship You. When I'm in the fire, I will worship You. When our hope seems gone, I will stand and proclaim that You are my God. I will worship You. Rescue me. Oh, but even when I cannot see Your hand, when You move it away, that I would not have prayed. Still I will worship You, I will worship You. In the midnight hour I will worship You, Lord. When I'm in the fire, I will worship You.
Here now is Pastor Wade with a message entitled, Getting Beyond Good Intentions.
Yes, Lord.
But would you take out your notes today as we begin Getting Beyond Good Intentions? With six of us that rode our motorcycles, we were going to go to a place called Sturgis, which is a big motorcycle convention, but we wanted to do it up good. And so we decided the first day to get this award. Now, this award, to get it, you've got to ride a motorcycle for 1,000 miles in one day, 24 hours in a period. And so we decided to just go for it. Now, if you get this award, it's appropriately entitled the Iron Butt Award. So we decided, let's just go for it. We left Eugene, Oregon at 4 a.m. and we arrived at Billings, Montana, 12 midnight, 20 hours of riding. And I want you to know, if anyone ever asks you, how far is it from Eugene, Oregon to Billings, Montana, the police station to police station, it's 1,037 miles. So to commemorate this wonderful event, three of our motorcycle gang decided to get tattoos right where in the location is that the title suggests it should be. Big old tattoos, pretty nice. Background is not the nicest, but the tattoo itself is very nice, very nice. You say to me, were you one of the three? You will never know. But it was just a wonderful time. We went to Sturgis where between 250 and 300,000 motorcycles converge. Can you believe that 250,000, quarter of a million motorcycles in this town that Sturgis is 6,600 people. And it swells over 500,000 during this week because 500,000 bikes will come and go. But at any one time, it's about 250 to 300,000 there. And so we went, it was a human zoo. I mean, a zoo. You get that many bikers together. It is a zoo. The Hell's Angels were there, free souls were there, all kinds of strange souls were there, lost souls were there. And they're all converging on this place. Wild hair, leathers, tattoos everywhere, loud Harley bikes, mean looking. And then the guys are worse. I wouldn't suggest anybody go there. It's a terrible place. But I'm going to go next year. And so, but after a while, we rode through the Badlands and down to Wyoming and Custer National Park, saw buffalo roaming. It was just amazing. And then I stopped in Billings. The other five guys took off and went back. And then I flew to Chicago, did some speaking there, and back to Billings speaking. And then I rode the next 3 days alone through the hills. And it was a wonderful time. I was so happy. It took me 3 days to dig the bugs out of my teeth. It was just wonderful. Well, let's take a look at our notes. We're going to be talking about getting beyond good intentions and how do we develop a life of success and a life of fruitfulness that's real, not just intended, real. That we don't end up at the end of our life saying, I shoulda, coulda, woulda, I wish I woulda. But instead, we can look back and hear the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And what it's going to require is that we get beyond good intentions. Well, how do we know that we're on the right track? How do we know we're getting there? You know, we're always looking for a measurable sign that we're doing good, that gives us confidence that we're on the right track. It could be on a test or a paper from school, an A or a B. It says, you're on the right track. It could be a compliment from a boss. It could be a trophy, best salesman. It could be employee of the month. It could be a bonus. It could be one of those things that we're all looking for signs, road signs that say you're doing good. And the same is true even in circles of Christianity. We say, Lord, are we on the right track? Are we doing good? Are we getting there that where you want us to go and get to? Lord, what are the road signs? Are there any confirming signs? Well, in some circles of Christianity, we kind of swing the pendulum all the way over to say, well, if you can prophesy and say, this thus saith the Lord, woohoo, you must be on the right track. Wow. Or if someone can pray for healing and God answers that prayer, woohoo, he must be on the right track. Or you see someone worshiping like crazy. Wow, that guy's on the right track. Or someone that's a prayer warrior. Wow, that person's on the right track. Maybe, maybe not. And we're going to talk about that. But in the book of 1 John, God puts out a very simple, clear, articulate, undeniable measuring standard as to whether or not our love for God is maturing. And we were going to find it at the top of our notes. So let's read it together in your most boisterous voice today. Let's read 1 John 2:5. Ready? Go. Whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. Would you circle the word keeps? Whoever what? Which means lives by his word. In him the love of God is maturing or being perfected or been perfected. See, what he's saying is this. God's love is seen as mature when how I live matches consistently to what I believe. That I walk in that way. You see, often we rate ourselves by our intentions. Well, I love God. I love God's word. I want to serve God. I have a heart to give, but we don't. And for some reason, we think if we have a strong enough desire, then that desire can be chalked up as good enough. And we live a whole life of intending to clean my office, intending to do this, intending, that's on my plan. That's on my plan. And we live in this way. We do that around church too. We intend to. We just worship God. We pray because we don't want to do. It's easier to pray. It's fine to pray. It's fine to worship so long as it's not a substitute of actually bringing to obedience what God is asking us to do in our families and our homes. Lest we become people of intense religiosity here, but far behind out there. So we've got to get beyond good intentions. You know, interestingly, we can make a whole religion of just good intentions and live that way our whole life. I can have intentions, an intention to go to the gymnasium. I can have that a desire heart to go and exercise. I can just go and say, man, that's my intention. That's my desire. That's my will. But you know what? I find that not 1 pound gets melted off because of my desire. I am bewildered. I'm amazed that I'm not changing. So you know what I do? The next day, I intend harder to go to the gym. I intend more seriously. I yearn to go to the gym. I desire deeply to go to the gym, and still nothing comes off. We've got to move beyond good intentions. And when God says, when you do that, then your love is mature. Otherwise, we can just have great intentions, great intensity. And the Lord says, yeah, you love me, but your love is still immature. I want your love to mature so that you walk, not just talk. That you actually do, not just intend. Let's read the next scripture and see what it says in 1 John 2. Go. The one who says he abides in him ought self to walk in the same manner as... Yeah. And John 14, 21 says it this way, he who has my word and keeps it, he it is who loves me. Yeah. Yeah, but I love you. No. He who has my word and keeps it, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him, Jesus says, and I will reveal myself to him. Why? Because your love is maturing. And it's when your love matures, then you'll begin to understand the things of God. Start to see things a little bit more clearly. Otherwise, we live in a life of intentionality. We intend to do this and we intend to do that. We yearn, my heart is, but we never cross this chasm that separates good intentions from success in life. You've got to build a bridge. We say, well, how do you build a bridge? Because I've got a lot of good intentions, but I just don't get to it. What do we do? How do I get the bridge across that chasm so that I can have the fruitfulness of life, a fruitful orchard, the reality of what God calls a successful life? How do I build a bridge? Well, I want to give you three planks, as it were, that we can put over this chasm. And upon this, you'll be able to build the bridge. And this building of a bridge that gets you beyond good intentions is absolutely critical in bringing to reality the things we hope for. You've got to get beyond good intentions. Well, how do you do that? Let me give you these three planks to lay across the chasm. And here's the first one. Would you write this down? Number one, you got to learn to, here it is, practice what is right. Practice. What? Yeah. Yeah, because there's certain things in life you won't feel like you want to do it. You're not in the mood to doing it. You don't have the emotional desire to do it, but you do it anyway. Just practice it. Yeah, but I don't feel like. No, just practice. Practice. And that's what the scripture says. Let's read what it says in Hebrews 5 together. Go. Everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who because of, here it is, practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Would you circle the word practice and then underline the results of practice? Your senses are trained to discern good and evil. Underline those words. You see, your senses need to be trained, because when you become a Christian and you say yes to Jesus Christ, I know this is going to sound terrible, but your feelings don't get saved. Your emotions don't get transformed. Your moods don't get reformed. You still have the same feelings, emotions, and moods of yesterday. Now you have a new heart, so you have the desire to. But the reality is your feelings don't get safe. So you know what? They're going to fight against you when you know what you should do, but you don't feel like it. So what are you going to do? Are you going to let your life be dictated by your feelings, your emotions, and your moods? Well, how do I get beyond that? Well, one of them is practice. That's the first plank. You got to practice what you know is right, even when you don't feel like it. In fact, the word practice comes from the Greek word where we get the word echo. To get a slap back, you know, like yodelay-hoo, yodelay-hoo, that echo that comes back. Well, it's an apprentice's word, like with a master carpenter. An apprentice was to echo what that master carpenter does, or mimic, or copy, or do exactly as that master carpenter does. The way he sands wood with the grain, he takes his piece of wood and sands the same thing. He's echoing that. He's mimicking that. When he sees him cutting a block of wood at a right angle, he takes his block of wood and he does the very same thing. And he mimics the ways of the master until the master's ways becomes his ways. And that's the word practice. Is it easy for him? No. Does it come comfortable? No. Does he want to do it at that angle? No. It's easier to do it another way. No. But you make it so that you're copying the master until that which may seem a bit uncomfortable becomes natural. And now your ability is just like the master's. But you've got to echo it for a season, even though it doesn't feel right to you. And the Bible says those who are going to find maturity in their Christian life have to understand that there's a season where we echo or we copy the master, regardless of our feelings. In fact, you've got to train your feelings to get in line. You've got to train it. Train your emotions. Train your moods. Train your feelings. And there's times God's going to say, here's the master's desire. I'm going to tell your wife I love her. Now, I want you to say that to her. And you say, well, I don't feel like it. No, the Lord says, no, this is right. You speak to your wife, tell her you love her.
Yeah, but she doesn't deserve it.
No, just practice. Practice the word, I love you. Go ahead, practice it.
Yeah, but I don't feel like it. So does that mean I'm a hypocrite if I don't feel like it and I say it?
No, it doesn't mean you're a hypocrite. It means you're a man growing in faith. because you're hearing what the master is saying, seeing what he's doing, and you're copying, you're echoing that until his heart becomes yours. Because you got to train your senses, because your senses will war against you at first. And you got to train them. Your senses, your feelings, your desires, your intentions are like spoiled kids sometimes. They're just, oh, I don't feel like it. Well, I'm not in the mood. If you just let your life be dictated by your intentions or by your feelings or by what your heart desires, if it's not right with God, if you let that dictate you, you ruin your future. You train your senses by what? By, say the word practice. By? Yeah, by practicing it. They're like spoiled kids. If on Sunday morning, let's go to church, and you say you have three kids, feelings, moods, and emotions. Let's go to church. I don't feel like it. What do you do as a parent? You let your kids dictate what you should do?
Okay, you don't feel like it? Okay. Okay, we won't go to church then. What about you? We should go to church. No, I don't have the emotions. No, I'm not in the mood. Okay, we stay home.
No, you ruin everything. You don't let your emotions dictate to you what you do. You let what is right dictate to your emotions what to do. So when you say, we're going to church, I don't feel like it. Shut up. Boom, get in the car. You, boom, get in the car. Yeah. Well, same thing is true in life. I hope you don't do that, but the same thing is true in life. You see, there's a lot of times that we're going to let our, well, I don't feel like, you know, worshiping. I don't feel like serving. Just do practice it. Practice. So practice it. So the Lord says, say I love you to your wife.
Is that what you want to say?
Yeah.
Then you say it to her.
No, it doesn't work that way. It reminds me of the story of these three guys. There is this Catholic priest and this rabbi and this Portuguese pastor. And they were talking about how they kind of divvy up the collections to what goes to salary and what goes to, you know, church stuff. And so the rabbi says, well, what I do is I draw a 3-foot circle and I take the collection plate and I throw all the money in the air. And whatever lands inside that big circle goes to God. And anything that rolls out, I keep. Well, a Catholic priest said, well, you know what I do? I just draw a small 1-foot circle and I throw the money up. And whatever lands outside the circle is God's. And whatever lands in that little circle, I keep. Oh, the Portuguese pastor said, I don't draw no circle. What? That's right. I don't draw no circle. I just take the collection. I throw them in the air. Whatever God catches, he can keep. But you don't do that. I'm saying to your wife, I love her. Now practice it. Just practice. But I don't feel it. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Practice. Because you train your senses. Is it right? Yeah. Then practice it.
I love you.
You just got to practice it. There's things you just got to practice. Will you feel like it? No. Will your feelings, moods war against you? Absolutely. But you're going to train them. You're not going to let them train you. You see that? And if you want to mature your love, you got to practice. Who by practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil? Here in Hawaii, big deal. You go to a buffet line.
Go before me.
Yeah, you got to practice that. Here's a tough one for pakes.
You can have this for free.
Practice, practice. Well, I tell you, that's true, because on the freeway and stuff, you got to practice, because someone cuts you off, you want to run them down. Just practice staying away. I don't want to, but I'm going to practice this. That's good. Just practice. Okay. I like get them, but no, practice. Okay. Practice. I tell you, and it sounds funny, but it's true. The more you do that, you train your senses. And then when it's done, you realize, oh, that was the right thing to do. That was the best thing to do. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to practice, because practice helps you to get beyond good intentions. So the first is the plank. The first plank is the plank. What was that again? There's a P word. Practice, practice. Practice what is right.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Getting Beyond Good Intentions by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you. They want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.